Just in case you may need it, I'd like to read something from the Municipal Court of Irving, Texas. These are the rules of decorum for that municipal court. In order to show respect, dignify the court, and facilitate justice, the following rules of decorum shall be applicable to matters heard in the municipal court in Irving, Texas. The court requires that everyone interact with court personnel in an official capacity to conduct themselves respectfully. Address the judge as judge, or his or her honor, your honor, or yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no, sir, no, ma'am, during the proceedings. No weapons are allowed. Keep that in mind. Number four, proper attire must be worn for court appearances. In other words, no clothing indicating gang affiliation or showing offensive, vulgar, racist, or obscene language is allowed. Underwear must not be exposed. Please remove hats, caps, and sunglasses not required by a prescription, etc., before entering the courtroom. All cellular phones and other electronic devices shall be turned off before entering the courtroom. No video or audio recording is allowed in the courtroom. No food, drinks, gum, or tobacco products are allowed in the courtroom during court proceedings, including snuff or e-cigarettes. Offensive, vulgar, racist, sexist, or obscene language is prohibited. There will be no defacing of court property anywhere within the courthouse. No one may talk while the judge is on the bench unless directed to do so by the judge or by court personnel. Any conduct that expresses approval or disapproval of any testimony, statement, or court transaction is not respectful and will not be allowed in the court. Reading by non-participants in court proceedings shall not be permitted in the courtroom if it causes noises or other distractions. A person shall remain seated in the court unless the judge is taking or leaving the bench. No one shall approach the bench unless directed to do so by the judge. Dockets shall begin promptly at the scheduled times. All parties must arrive on time to court proceedings. Late parties will be counted absent. All pleas shall be in writing except those entered in open court. A fine payment will reflect a plea of no contest as allowed by law. Telephone calls do not constitute a court appearance. Isn't that a great little list? If you ever find yourself in a court in Irving, Texas, you now know how to behave yourself. Now, why did we just go through all of that? Well, because of Proverbs 23. If you turn to Proverbs 23, there's another court in session. In this case, it's the ruler. And it has to do with a dinner. Whenever you dine, it says in verse 1, with the ruler. There's certain decorum. I'm not reading the scriptures here. There are certain decorum that we are to follow. Note well what is before you and put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony. Do not crave his delicacies, for that food is deceptive. Now, I have to admit this scripture right here has a kind of little one way or the other to it. Are we talking about the common courtesies that we're going to be talking about today? Or are we talking about gluttony? It's often looked upon as being about gluttony. And listen, it might be. It really might be. I mean, he mentions it when you sit at the table. Note what? Notice that word. Note what is before you, the food that is before you. And so surely you know, a person coming before the king who's doesn't normally live that high of a lifestyle, and there's this lavish meal spread out before you, make sure you don't, in a sense, pig out. You know, don't get in there and just Well, this is, I've never had this before. And before you know it, you're just filling yourself up like crazy. You got these delicacies and you're getting them, putting some of them in your pocket, and you're asking for a doggy bag when it's all over. That might be it, you know, the idea of gluttony. So I want to confess that it might be. And I thought, but you know, I looked up gluttony in multiple places in the Bible, and it only appears a few times. It's serious. It has to do more with, I think, self-control and that sort of thing than anything. But at any rate, this might be on that. But I think it's different. I think it has to do with decorum. When you are at a meal that a king has given, or he's there, it's some kind of celebration or some kind of auspicious meeting. There's a reason why you're there other than to eat the food. And so don't focus on the food. Incidentally, if you have footnotes to your Bible and you turn to Proverbs 23 and you look at verse 1, the word what has a little mark by it. Mine has the letter A. Take a look at your Bible if you're looking in your Bible. Do you see it? Some of you, do you see it? There's a little A there. What does it say? You look in the footnote and it says, or who? So we could reread this. When you sit to dine with a ruler, note well who is before you. You're in the presence of the king. And so there is a certain amount of dignity there. There's a certain amount of common courtesy. There is a certain amount of order in the court. Isn't it interesting that the word courtesy has the word court in it? And so you are in the court of the king, then you need to present yourself in a decorous way or in a courteous way. There needs to be we must be courteous before the king. And so the gluttony idea is imagining someone not being courteous. They're there to eat and they're just kind of gobbling away and maybe clicking forks and all that kind of stuff while everything's going on. And then of course the delicacies come and you just can't stop yourself. Instead, of course, be courteous. So I think that's where we want to go, where I want to go. It's where my notes take me, so we need to go that direction, if you don't mind. And that is to be decorous, to be courteous, because as we say, let's let common courtesy be common and in all of us. But, you might agree with me, but common courtesy is actually not so common. Would you agree with that? You know, it seems less common. It really does. And you could probably, and I wish, maybe you wish you could come up and share your story, because you have stories to tell, I'm sure. But let me just give you some, not my story, some one or two of them might be, by the way. You know, this isn't a grudge thing, but it's just, it fits so well. How about, you ever been at a restaurant and somebody's in the next booth? And they're talking on the phone, and they're talking on the phone really loud, and they're not just answering a question or two. It is a long, involved conversation. And here you are in a public setting, and there's this person doing that. And to make matters worse, sometimes people will actually use their speakerphone. And they'll talk in the speakerphone, so they have to talk a little bit louder than normal. And we can hear then the person respond. So we're hearing both sides of the conversation. And we're there for a relaxing meal with our family or our friends. Next thing you know, somebody's got their phone going and they're talking loud. Is that courteous or is that discourteous? It's discourteous. It's one of those examples of common courtesy not being sometimes that common. It happens too much. Or maybe people that, and we've all heard this, we've all seen this, and I guess I'm sure you wish you could come up and tell your story, but people pushing forward in line, cutting line. When we were in elementary school, wasn't it wrong to cut in line? Didn't somebody say, ooh, you're cutting in line, you know? You're not supposed to cut in line. It's just a common courtesy. Get to the back of the line. If you come in, that's where you go. But there are always people cutting in line. I got to tell you this story. This is one of mine. This is one of those feelings. I got to get this off my chest. We've gone, and we're in an airport. We're going to check a car out. We've been waiting at the line where it says, wait here, you know, until the counter is clear. And so the person at the counter leaves. They got their car. We go to the counter, and the young man, there's nobody else, by the way, at this whole counter, so nobody on the other side, no other clerks. It's the only one. And so we come up to him, and he gets our name, and he's, you know, putting it into the computer. And all of a sudden, this guy comes walking in from the garage, down the lines of the counter in front of us, butts right in, doesn't acknowledge us at all, takes his wallet out and flashes money and says, I am I'm a presidential ticket member of this particular car company. You know, I guess you could buy yourself into getting extra privileges. I don't remember exactly what was the premium minister or presidential minister or whatever it was, but we were so impressed. No, we actually weren't. We just got bumped right in, and of course the guy couldn't help it. He said, you know, I'm a premier member, and I got a car problem. I need you to come with me. And he actually let him out. And so we're standing in this empty counter, you know, all this time, and he finally comes in, that is the clerk, apologizes and says, oh, this guy was so rude. And he was. He never turned to us at all and said, excuse me, but I've got a really important thing I've got to be to, and I wouldn't do this except for that, and I really apologize, you know. There was no courtesy in it. It was completely. So that's an example of it. And when that happened, we said that afterwards. Man, and I don't know why he flashed money, but there it was. But, you know, cutting, you know, not acceptable, not supposed to cut in line. How about people not holding the door for other people? I mean, wow. You know, that's been a common courtesy since I've been growing up. It still is. I still see people do it, and it's so wonderful, and I still do it myself. And I hope you're still doing it, too, you know, holding the door for other people. In fact, sometimes holding the door for other people that might then go in ahead of you and get in line before you. And then the second rule comes in, then don't cut in line. You know, you're then behind them. But it's a common courtesy to hold the door for somebody or even open the door for other people. Is that not true? That's just a common courtesy. Of course it's true. How about this? This is another one. So many seem to be with cars, but here's just one of them. A busy gas station on a highway where you have to pull in to get gas because you're almost empty. And there's like 20 pumps, but there's like 20 cars at 20 pumps. And two or three of those cars are empty. The person has gone into the store to buy their groceries and take care of their business, you know. And then they come out. Now, there's a lack of courtesy there. You know, that's an example of it, too. Or interrupting conversations. You know, we're talking in a small group and somebody comes up and just kind of butts in. It's not that people aren't invited, but it's that they kind of butt in. You know, that's breaking into conversations. That's just, you know, that's just some examples of common courtesies that aren't common at times that can really rub you the wrong way. And they should, because we ought to be courteous to one another. And so the next thought is, well, why is it uncommon? What's happened? Well, I think the first thing is just say, well, it's not being taught, maybe. It's not being maybe exemplified by other people, but not being taught. I read this week on a message board. Somebody had put, if you are a person who doesn't adhere to common courtesies, can you explain why? And the first written-in response underneath that was, because it's a pointless waste of time that isn't important. And when I read that, the first thing I thought of was how discourteous that is to say that it's pointless. For me to be courteous to you is pointless. For me to be courteous to you is a waste of my time. There's an attitude problem there. It's more than just a courtesy thing. It's an attitude problem, but it causes people to be discourteous. In another place I read online, where the discussion was on these common violations of courtesy, one was mentioned was elbows on the table. How many of you were taught? If you weren't taught, don't feel bad about it because you're probably not doing it anyway. How many of you were taught not to put your elbows on the table when you're eating? Few people. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah, let's just keep eating, you know. And maybe, but the guy who responded to that at the end, there was a fill in the blank of what you thought about the article. He says, I put my elbows on the table and I don't understand what the big deal is because it's just not comfortable, you know, not to. And it didn't, you know, you have to put your left hand or right, depending on what you eat with, in your lap and just use your fork. And when you need to cut your steak, you use your left hand, but then you put it back and you know, and that's just so uncomfortable. And again, wow. It's kind of like wearing pajamas at work. You know, why do people wear pajamas at work? I mean, if they do, you know, why do they do that? That's because it's comfortable. And they don't want to wear a suit because it's so uncomfortable. And so the idea of personal comfort gets in the way of courtesies. Now, we could probably go on, and I won't do that. And you were going to, you know, I know you're saying too late, you know. But let's think about it from the biblical standpoint briefly, because I do think this is biblically what's being said here to us. It's not really gluttony that's being talked about. It's that you're eating in the presence of a king, which demands courtliness. You're in the court of the king, just as we were in the court in Irving, and we have these different rules that we need to abide by. They are rules of decorum. Well, the Bible deals with it in a slightly different way. It doesn't use that terminology. Romans 12:16 in general says that we ought to live in harmony with one another. And courtesy is a way to live in harmony. To thank people, to welcome people, to open doors for people, to not cut in line with people, and to not butt in, to not talk out loud and on the phone in front of other people. Those all are just courteous, common, kind things that we are to do. In fact, the Bible teaches us fruit of the Spirit is kindness and gentleness. Jesus says meekness is one of the Beatitudes. We are to love one another. And Philippians 2 actually says we are to be considerate of one another. So the Bible does deal with it. Here's a scripture, although I want you to see, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that touch on it really in specific areas that may not quite apply to us today. It's the idea of women and men, whether they wear something over their heads when they pray and that sort of thing. It's in 1 Corinthians 11. The Apostle Paul writes in verse 2, I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the traditions just as I pass them on to you. That's kind of a key little sense there, holding on to the traditions that I have taught you. And then he elaborates on what one of them was. I want you to realize that the head of every man is the Christ and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. It's not respectful. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It's the same as having her head shaved. And on he goes with all of that. Now, that has to do with the culture of Corinth, of course, at that time. But what he's saying is, I'm teaching you that whatever is the decorum, that is the courteous thing to do there, then you need to do that. When you don't, it's dishonorable that you don't do that. And, of course, he goes on and elaborates on it for quite a while. Look down to verse 17 of chapter 11. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt, There, no doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you has God's approval. But verse 20, so then, when you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you eat, for when you are eating, listen to this, for when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private supper. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat in and drink in, or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. Now, of course, again, the topic is more serious than just simply showing courtesy, but it has to do with that getting along with one another in a godly way. Here's the Lord's Supper, and at that time, most likely in the early church, it was held during a meal, just as Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper was at the meal, the Lord's Supper. Early churches would have actually meals as at the end of the service or sometime on the Lord's Day. And during that service, they would then do the Lord's Supper. It was kind of built in. And that's why he later on tells them they ought to do their eating at home, which some of our brethren and some of our anti-churches said, well, we can't have a kitchen, therefore. That wasn't the point. The point was you need to divide out this idea of the Lord's Supper with your normal supper, because this is what happens sometimes. Instead of waiting for each other and people are just going on with their own thing, and they're being inconsiderate, and they're not listening to what I have to say and showing respect for other people. And after all, is that not what common courtesies are for? To show respect to other people? Isn't that right? Of course they are. And so we ought to go that extra mile. So here's some ways to show courtesy. One of them is just be on time. Whenever you can, be on time. Won't go into stories there, but you probably have some yourself. Mind your manners, you know, even table manners, whatever your family has taught you. But here's one that's really big. Put your phone down, you know. Don't use your phone in public and talk while people are around. And when you do have to, talk quietly. Or if you're in a group, say in a restaurant, talk quietly with one another so you don't disturb other people around you. It's just that being thoughtful, showing courtesy. Listen to other people. Make eye contact with other people. I read this one, so I had to write it in. Don't park like a jerk, you know. Sometimes people have this special vehicle that nobody else has. It's just like the biggest whoopee vehicle in the world. And so what I'm going to use is I'm going to use two parking spaces. I'm going to park in the middle so you can't park close to me, you know. So don't do those kind of things. Be very mindful of people around you and to show those courtesies, because courtesies matter. They're a way to show worth to other people. Somebody said, no lives matter. You are equally worthless, which I totally disagree with. All lives matter because you are equally valuable. And so common courtesy shows the value of the other person, how you value the other person. It is a way of showing worth to people, because we are worthy of your respect. Each one of us are worthy of your respect. And it creates good relationships, doesn't it? Whenever we are courteous, doesn't that just tend to sort of soften our relationships? It's for us, I think, for all countries everywhere, it's this kind of social glue that we have shared values, you know, and we show that common respect, you know. It's good, of course, at work to observe the common courtesies. It's a good example to other people that they might learn from you, especially children. Children need to see moms and dads and other adults being courteous, showing decorum in their lives, so that children grow up. And of course, it helps when we get into disagreements with one another. We might be a little bit A little bit angry or a little bit annoyed, and we want to start, you know, maybe saying things we shouldn't say. Instead, we ought to work to maintain that decorum and that courtesy with other people, because Jesus told us we ought to love other people as we love ourselves. And Paul wrote that in Philippians 2. We ought to be more considerate of others and to think about them. And to even love our enemies, so even people that we might be in great disagreement with, at least on our side, we ought to be as kind and gentle and courteous as we can be. So there's something from Proverbs that is one of those rules, one of those 30 sayings, and it just seems like such a small thing. And I do think it goes beyond gluttony to say it has to do with, you know, with the right decorum and to be the kind of people that when people see you, they feel respected in your presence, and then they also return that respect to you. Now, we're going to sing a song of encouragement in just a minute if you have a need, and you need to come forward, and we could pray for you if you have another need. But let's have a brief word of prayer, and then we'll stand and sing this song. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another part of your word that teaches us what seems like a small thing, being courteous. But we look around and we realize that sometimes people aren't very courteous, and maybe sometimes we aren't. And we pray, Father, you'll help us to realize that it is really part of our life to be that kind of gentle and meek and mild person, and that we might not offend other people, but instead recognize their worth, even though we disagree. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.